Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the second day of December 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Jackie Vakes is unavailable this afternoon. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And we'll hear from Gary Schnitke, too. He'll talk about how to figure next year's Arc County payments. You can't do that until next year when the Nass County yields are released. Even then, they use FSA yields, and they're just slightly different than the Nass numbers. Still, you may want to take that up with your lender at some point, and we'll do that all during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, right here from Urbana-Champaign.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, futures in the corn pit finished lower, down 3 cents in the nearby December at $3.64, the March at $3.70 and a quarter, 3 and a half lower, the May down 3 and a quarter, 3.76, and July 3.81 and a half, down 3, December at $3.93 and a quarter, 2 and a half cents lower. Soy complex, January beans up 3 at $8.92 and a quarter, the March at $8.95, up 3 and a half, and May futures $9 a penny and a quarter, up 3 and 3 quarters. July soybeans at $9.07 and a half, up 4. August up 4 and a quarter at $9.09 and a quarter. Next year's November at $9.11 and a half, up 4 and a half cents. Bean meal futures 60 cents higher, at $2.86.30, and the bean oil at $30.27, up 49. Soft red winter wheat at $4.52 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter. July down a nickel at $4.81 and three quarters, and July hard red 3 and 3 quarters lower at $4.87 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures December contract down the limit, $3 lower at $129.10. February, April also down the limit as well. Feeder cattle down $4.40 on their expanded limits, $160 the last trade. March contract at $157.87 and a half, down $4.35. And lean hogs for the day at $59.32 and a half. They're still, of course, trading 62 and a half cents lower at this hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, all in its entirety.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets at this hour. In the energies, ethanol futures at $1.49 and a half are down 2 and 4 tenths of a cent per gallon. Crude oil trading at $40.03 is $1.81 lower, and the gasoline on the RBOB or wholesale price down 6 and 9 tenths of a cent, trading at $1.29 and 3 tenths today. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.30 and 7 tenths, 6 and a tenth of a cent lower, and natural gas down 6 and a tenth as well. It's at $2.17. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 154 points at 17,706, and the U.S. dollar is up 0.175 at 100.015. Gold futures on the day now trading at $1,054.50, are $9 lower. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Rain and snow showers before 5, then a slight chance of snow afterwards. Cloudy and a high of 37 today. West-northwest winds at 14 to 16. And then this evening, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a low of 29, winds out of the west at 7 to 13, gusting to 16. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 42, west winds at 7. Thursday evening, clear and 28, southwest winds at 5. Hopefully that'll bring us warmer weather on Friday, and it does. 49 degrees, sunny skies, again, southwest winds at 5 to 7. Friday night, clear and a low of 30. Saturday, sunny and 52. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 31. And to start the week, Sunday, mostly sunny skies at a high near 50.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the second day of December 2015, and we're joined by Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, filling in for this afternoon for Jackie Vakes, who's away from the office. Bill, thanks so much for doing that. I do very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be with you.
Okay, so earlier in the week, we had the beginnings of, I guess, a change in the marketplace for soybean oil, potentially, as the RFS was released by U.S. EPA. The market, although has been signaling this for a while, I think it's up 25% since the month of August. Beans, however, have only risen 3% or something along those lines.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah, kicking and screaming. That's right. So now we're faced with a dilemma, at least producers will be, because many of them have soybeans that they've been hanging on to, meaning they've got them in storage one place or another, either on the farm or in the elevator. And we're approaching that $9 level. We broke through $8.90 today. Can we get to $9, and how quickly do producers want to take advantage of higher prices?
Yeah, yes, we could definitely make the $9 handle, but I think we're entering into a value level zone that probably needs to be rewarded. You know, I don't know that everybody wants to move the cash right this minute, but you might look out there for some hedgerow arrival, maybe some deferred sales. And as we focused on basis continuously, that's one of the things we want to keep in the back of our mind. The other thing, too, that kind of makes this a little bit of a concern to us is that the soybean oil has led this charge higher. Granted, it's probably based on the biodiesel argument, but in the long-term scheme of things, bean oil is not typically a reliable leader of the soyplex. Also, we know that South America, although they are seeing some areas of concern in weather, they've probably still got a really large crop coming to us, and we've only probably got, you know, 3 or 4 months of good market opportunity on as far as the world prospects are concerned.
Have you had many discussions in-house there about bean oil and its transition, if it's really able to lead or not? And I'm thinking maybe over the long term, because we've known since 2007 that bean oil would get vegetable oil of some sort or biodiesel, renewable fuels on the advanced side in 2015 would begin to kick in under the statutory mandates that Congress set, as long as EPA followed them. So I don't know whether you've had this discussion, because essentially you've got meal, and meal's not done very well.
Right.
Because you have to have a lot of oil, but not nearly so much meal, I would suppose. So how does it all sort of translate?
Well, usually with the oil, we don't talk about it specifically. I think we do try to monitor which one's in the driver's seat as far as the products driving the market. I think that the EPA has definitely set the stage for some additional consumption, and the market has definitely engaged it in a positive way. But the sustainability, what it really does in our mind is maybe takes that vegetable oil price to a different level for a period of time while this legislation gets traction, and then just basically ups the game a little bit. We think that in the broad strokes, it's a value piece, but it's probably not going to give us a really great marketing opportunity. And so once we get it dialed in, we'll probably plateau out and go back and look at the weather maps again.
So I take it you're thinking this will happen quickly, not take a very long time to pull this off then.
Most assuredly. I think with the numbers that we've seen this week and today's price action, this would say is probably the beginning of the end, where we've probably priced in the adjustment for the numbers that were surprisingly large to the trade, and then we'll go back and trade the normal news once again.
Okay, so now that we're back to the normal news, I guess that we're back to the bin door being shut and basis levels, and how much more upside potential is there?
Yeah, I would say we've started to price some new crop beans, and we've tried to push the old crop out into positive basis levels. But realistically, right now, we're in the zone to get some catch-up stuff done. If you're needing to do some, or if you want to price some for after the first of the year, this 890 to 920 mark is really a good zone for value add. Our expectations are that right now, once we've got to this 890 mark, we're probably going to see basis levels deteriorate in some spots. And we're cautiously optimistic that the futures market may do some more of the heavy lifting that basis has been doing up till now. But once that takes place, that basis is going to stop, and the farm gate price is going to stay relatively steady within probably a 15 or 20 cent range.
It was a disappointing day in Chicago for the corn, down a few pennies. Not mm-hmm. a big move, but still lower for the day. Is this just more of the sideways move?
I think the dollar being higher put a little bit of pressure on things. With the Fed going to probably raise interest rates in a couple of weeks, the dollar is firmed up a little bit. That typically means your wheat market turns defensive, which usually weighs on corn. I think realistically, the commodities in general, when we showed up this morning, had a little bit of a defensive bias, and beans were able to shake that off to some degree. But the sustainability in the broad strokes is questionable.
Crude oil is kind of the big gorilla in the whole complex mm-hmm. at the moment. Hanging around $40, we're waiting for OPEC to make some decisions. What do you think will happen there?
My hunch is that we've probably been down to this $40 level a number of times and really been able to bounce from it. I kind of view it as maybe a third time down is probably going to violate it and see what kind of value's underneath this thing. Do we have a break to $38 coming? Maybe. I don't think that the futures market are as disengaged today as they were a while back. But right now, from a technical perspective, it looks like that price is vulnerable. When we're getting $1.50 gas at the pump, we know that the consumers are being satisfied, and we've got probably reasonable demand, but the crude price just isn't really responding. Mm-hmm. And we also got to remember that the numbers out of China have not been real encouraging as far as global economic numbers.
And stocks in the United States remain really big.
Yeah, and they'd be talking about taking some of the stuff out of our strategic reserve in one way, shape, or form. And, if they do that, it's pulling it out at a loss because most of that inventory was put in at higher prices.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Anything else we should take up on the livestock side?
Just kind of challenged by the meats, but the cash is probably leading the show. Today's limit down move in the fats is kind of a challenge, but we'll watch the cash and see if we can get something going later on in the week.
Appreciate you filling in for Jackie today.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Bill Gentry. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks to him, again, for filling in for Jackie Beck. She's not available. A couple of items coming up on the calendar in the middle of the month of December. I'll go on the road for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. If you've not been to this particular event, this is a good year to try it out because it's just not that expensive. And boy, do you learn a lot on these events. Now, I happen to have access to all these guys every day, but I live and work with them here in Mumford Hall. I'm in the basement, and they're upstairs on the third floor. Folks like Bruce Sherrick and Gary Schnitke and Daryl Good and Jonathan Kappas on the road with us. Todd Keithy will be there as well. If you've not been to the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, go to the Farm Doc Daily website. Look for the Farm Economic Summits on the right-hand side and get yourself registered. We'll be in Champaign December the 14th, DeKalb on the 15th, Peoria on the 16th, Springfield the 17th, and on December the 18th, that's a Friday, in Mount Vernon. I'll be on the air from all those places in some form as well, so we'll be bringing you some of that information during the week. The cost is somewhere between $65 and $75, depending on whether you register early or walk in the door, but you need to learn a little bit more about this. The Ag Economist put on a fantastic program. I can tell you who will be there, and so that you might want to be there as well. I've been doing this with them for more than a dozen years, I think. The people who will be there are your bankers, and they will be in the room. You as a farmer ought to be in the room as well. Find all of that information on the Farm Doc Daily website. We'll start today's agricultural news, as usual, in Washington, D.C., and today with U.S. EPA. A court challenge is likely the most promising avenue to reverse the Environmental Protection Agency's lowered targets under the renewable fuel standard. That, according to one prominent agricultural senator, he's from Iowa, longtime ethanol supporter and Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley, says a legislative challenge to the EPA's new RFS volumes is likely to fall short, leaving a court challenge as the most likely avenue to succeed.
I think that you're going to find agriculture and biofuels joining together in a lawsuit probably led by the biofuels industry. And I think that that's where the battleground is going to be until we get a new president and a new EPA director. And I think we'll have some leverage. I think any attempt to do amendments to the appropriation bills that would nullify what EPA is doing will be difficult to get passed.
However, the EPA could argue in court that it acted within its authority to set volumes to market demand, that Congress never mandated specific levels, but just targets, and that the EPA increased 2016 targets significantly, though short of what the law has envisioned. Grassley insists the biofuels industry would still have a good argument in court.
I would say you're going to get some very darn good lawyers that are going to get together and figure they've got a chance of winning or they wouldn't go into it. There is the speculation that if EPA had any room to maneuver, it was upwards and not downwards.
While EPA did lower the overall biofuels target next year from 22 billion gallons to roughly 18 billion total, that's still up nearly 1.2 billion gallons from this year's usage. And the EPA's reduction in conventional ethanol by half a billion gallons next year still leaves more than the agency first proposed. Still, Grassley questions if an administration that claims such strong support for biofuels and clean energy really wants biofuels when it scales back their potential production. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C. Lawmakers are using a compromise highway bill to reverse crop insurance cuts that were part of the two-year budget agreement. The conference agreement of the House and Senate bill is expected to pass through Congress by Friday, as lawmakers want to prevent programs from expiring. House Ag Chairman Mike Conaway of Texas commended House Speaker Paul Ryan and Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy Tuesday for living up to their promise to fix the cuts. The $3 billion worth of cuts will be replaced by a Federal Reserve dividend cut for the banking industry. Conaway had maintained that the cuts would not come from any agricultural programs, a condition of his agreement with the House leadership. And finally, we'll revisit the on-again, off-again enlist duel battle that's been taking place. The Dow Chemical Company is confident that enlist duel herbicide will be reapproved by the EPA in time for the 2016 crop season. EPA filed a motion to vacate the registration of the herbicide last week. CEO of Dow AgroSciences, Tim Hazinger, says they believe questions regarding the product can promptly be resolved in the next few months, but added that it is possible there could be some changes to use conditions on the existing label. The company continues to prepare for commercial sales for 2016. Enlist Duel contains two popular herbicide ingredients, glyphosate and 2,4-D. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Farmers and their bankers can get a jump on just how much income to expect from the ARC County program next fall. I'll have more in a moment on how Nass County yields can be used to anticipate the payments. Well, farm income is down dramatically. It means farmers will be going to bankers for production loans this winter. And those loans will be used to plant next season's crop. The bankers will be looking for every clue they can find to help them make solid lending decisions. One source of income they'll want to calculate comes from the farm programs. However, the ARC County payments won't be figured until the fall. It is possible to estimate these payments by substituting Nass County yields for the FSA computed yields, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnitke.
So 2015 payments, ARC County payments, there's likely to be payments, but it's going to depend on what those yield levels are, those county yields, and FSA calculates those yields, but they won't release those yields until next autumn of 2016. But we can use NASS yields to come up with a pretty good estimate of what those FSA county yields are. And NASS will release its yields in February of this year. So in February, we'll have a pretty good feel for what those ARC County payments are, because we'll have a pretty good idea of what county yields look like.
NASS county yields do vary from the FSA numbers, but not by much. NASS calculates yields by dividing production by harvested acreage. These are both numbers the agency collects via a statistical estimate. FSA uses a different calculation, says Schnittke.
FSA does the same thing when NASDAQ exists, but it adds to acres RMA failed acres. So FSA yields will always be less than NASH yields.
Again, because FSA adds failed acres into the calculation, the resulting yields are less than the NAS County yield averages. It means the NAS County yields, again, those will be released in February, will provide a conservative estimate of our county payments.
If they use the NASH yield, they'll be most likely underestimating the payment because usually FSA yields are a bit lower than NASH yields, and it depends on the number of failed acres.
Again, FSA yields are lower than NAS County yields because production is divided by harvested and failed acres, not just the harvested acreage figure used by NAS. There's an Illinois state map of the average county difference on the Farm Doc Daily website. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Just a quick reminder, as I said earlier, check out those Farm Doc Daily Illinois Farm Economics Series websites for your tickets to that event. We'll be on the road December the 14th. That's starting on Monday. And we'll be doing Champaign, DeKalb, Peoria, Springfield, and Mount Vernon. If you have not registered for one of these events in the past, I urge you to go ahead and take a look at what's on the agenda for this year. The Ag Economists do a fantastic job, and more than ever, I believe you'll probably need to check out this particular event. The Illinois Farm Economics Summits will make the tour of the states starting Monday, December the 14th, in Champaign, DeKalb, Peoria, Springfield, and Mount Vernon. Speaking of states, let's switch them and go to Indiana, the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons. It's an ethanol plant there outside of Logansport, Indiana, and check in on what the cash grain market is doing for the afternoon. Thanks for being with us. Who do I get to talk to today?
You have Pete.
Hi, Pete. How are you this afternoon?
Great. Spitting a little bit of snow here today. It's sunshine. Can't complain.
That's not so bad. So tell me about basis levels around your ethanol plant.
Basis levels, we just actually dropped 2 cents yesterday, but we've been going along recently at 23 over the March. We're now at 21 over the March. Grain's been moving pretty well in the late November, early December time slot, and we've kind of backed off our bid a little bit to kind of push our truck lines to maybe back another 30 days.
And how about for soybeans in the area?
Let's see. Soybeans in the area right now at Delphi, we're at option price. Processors are in the area are bidding 15 over the January.
Were you as short of soybeans? I don't think you were as you were of corn.
No.
But you were short nonetheless, apparently.
Yeah, beans were surprising yields on beans. They're really close to as normal as anything. Corn, we were dropped as much as 30%. So we had very little deliveries as far as out of the field in the month of November. November and December will be a challenge as far as getting corn to come to town, and that's why you're seeing basis 21, 23 over.
How long do you expect this to continue?
Until we probably see new crop. It'll probably be a 30-day market from here on out. We're not going to the market as far as basis goes. It's going to be in an inverse all year, I think, enticing guys to deliver the nearbys and not hold any longer than I have to.
Hard to believe when you have a record crop for the whole of the nation that can happen.
Hard for us to comprehend that.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. And I know you've given us the overs, but tell me what the actual bids are for the day.
Sure. Let's see here. Cash corn in the Climbers, 391. Delphi, 385. And Delphi beans, 892.
Thanks so much, Pete.
You bet.
That's Pete Peterson. He's with the Andersons Climbers facility.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Fritters Day. Thousands of years ago, the Romans and Greeks made fritters, deep-frying flour mixed with milk, eggs, spices, and honey. On this day in agricultural history in 1885, George Richard Monat was born. An American physician, He was one of the developers of a raw liver diet used to treat anemia. In 1970, the Environmental Protection Agency began operations. William Ruckelhaus was the first director. President Richard Nixon charged the then 38-year-old Ruckelhaus to treat air pollution, water pollution, and solid wastes as different forms of a single problem. Ruckelhaus exceeded expectations, earning the nickname among lawmakers as Mr. Clean. And in 1995, Maria Telkis died, a Hungarian-born American biophysicist and chemist. She was a pioneer in using solar energy in heating applications. Among other things, she developed a solar-heated seawater distillation system and a solar-powered stove. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this second day of December. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take a look at the weather forecast. Thanks for being with us, Drew. Appreciate that a lot. Why don't you start right here in the Midwest and tell me about the forecast for the next several days?
Well, it looks like we're going to see an improving trend take place across a big part of the region. We've had some rain. Certainly the upper Midwest had its share of snow here this week, probably more sure than I think they wanted. But we will see an improving trend as the leftovers of that storm system pass through the rest of the Midwest here today. Some showers in the eastern parts of the region, and it will wind down. And as we go through that period of time, we'll still deal with some cool conditions across the region. But just as soon as we get into the day tomorrow, we'll start seeing an improving trend. All of the cloudiness will start to abate from west to east across the region. We'll probably have a mostly sunny day in quite a few areas tomorrow, but certainly on Friday. And after that, we're going to have a rather quiet weather pattern for about a week to a week and a half, with one exception. There's going to be a low-pressure center that will form over the Delta. This will occur probably early next week, and as it evolves, it will lift to the northeast, and so portions of Kentucky, maybe southern Indiana, southern and eastern parts of Ohio will pick up on additional moisture, maybe 0.35 of an inch, close to a half inch. Somebody could get 0.75 inch, I suppose, but only very close to the Ohio River. And all the rest of the Midwest will maybe have a little cloud cover associated with that and a few spits and spats, but nothing in the way of measurable precipitation or meaningful. And we'll be following that up with yet another period of drier weather for a fair amount of the Midwest as we go into the week next week. So it looks like the next week to 10 days will be mostly good. Now, if you're in the Ohio River Basin, like I said, you got one more round of precipitation to deal with. But I think there's some folks that are looking for droughty weather for some reason, and this is obviously not droughty weather.
Mm-hmm. At least it sounds like it'll be good weather to get outside and maybe do a little winter work and put up a few lights. How about going to South America at this point? Talk about Brazil and Argentina. Crop conditions, please.
Still looks like everybody's doing really quite well. There's been a lot of worry out there because of the slow start to the planting season. But when you step back and look at the soil profile right now, the moisture situation is just about ideal in all of the major production areas from one end of the country to the other. The only area that's hurting for moisture is in the northeast, and that particular area is not a major grain or oilseed production region. In the case of Argentina, it's very similar. The ground is moist right now. Everybody that needs moisture has had it. There's some areas in the far northwest part of Argentina that are really rather dry right now, but that's a minor production area, just like we mentioned for northeastern Brazil. And the forecast for Argentina, though, is different from Brazil. Brazil will see a regular occurrence of showers and thunderstorms over the next 2 weeks. But in the case of Argentina, we'll probably see a little more of a net drying biased environment. And as we go through at least this next week, we'll see the ground firm up in quite a few areas. And the second week of December will become fairly important for determining whether or not Argentina is moving into a dry biased pattern or whether we're just going to go right back into some more rain. And I kind of vote for the latter. I think we'll see good distributions of rain on into the mid-month.
Thanks so much, Drew.
You bet. And you have yourself a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.